You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. I hope you've all had a wonderful vacation. I certainly did. I really caught up on my sleep, as well as my housekeeping and organizing some of the books I have into nice, neat stacks because they were falling down. So I cleaned my house, cleaned my apartment, made sure I got my papers organized, everything squared away, and I gave a lot of thought as to New Year's resolutions. And probably the number one resolution across the United States, and from what I'm hearing, Great Britain as well, and Europe, is people are overweight. They eat too much food. I know I have a weight problem, and I really, my number one resolution is to lose 100 pounds. Actually, a little bit more than 100 pounds. And I really started it today because I wanted to clean my refrigerator. What I call the seven deadly C's. What are the seven deadly C's? Things that you really shouldn't eat. You shouldn't buy, you shouldn't eat, and you shouldn't have in your refrigerator. Now, for many of you, this is going to be very difficult, if not impossible. It's a challenge, but I made sure that my refrigerator, as well as my pantry, did not have the seven C's. I actually have one that I can't do anything about because I'm going to definitely, I've bought this item. I have a number of boxes of them, but I'm not going to eat them. So they're not going to go bad because they're vacuum packed. So what are the seven deadly C's that will make your belly bulge and make you overweight and make you go bigger and bigger? What are those seven daily C's? Well, I'll give you a hint, and it starts with a C. What are the seven deadly C's have in common? They're all carbohydrates. All foods can be broken down into either protein, carbohydrates, and fat. Now, you need all three, and if you have a good diet, eat appropriately amounts. One of the biggest problems a lot of people have is they eat too fast and they eat too much. And if they actually would just simply slow down the process and let their body respond and give it time, the body would signal, stop eating. But when you gulp everything down, and that's one of the problems. I pay attention to what I'm doing. That's one of the problems. I tend to eat too fast. And even though I'm eating enough food and not a big portion, the danger is then you want a second helping or a third or fourth sandwich or whatever it is. So carbohydrates is the biggie. Not so much fat, although they do contain fat. Now, what are they? Number one on the list. And this is items when you go in the grocery store, if you really have... Obesity is defined as you're over 30% of what's considered your normal weight, depending on what gender you are, whether you're male or female, what height you are, and what body type you are. And I know what I should be weighing, and I'm, like I said, my goal is to lose at least 100 pounds 1 year from now. That's my goal. Actually, it's much higher than that because I want to actually go from being overweight to being slightly underweight, because there is some evidence that if you cut down on your calories, you can lengthen your duration of your life. I'm not going to get into that. But what are the seven deadly C's? Number one, candy. Don't eat any candy. Don't buy any candy. Don't eat any candy. See, I used to have a rule, which I'm actually going to make harder, is I wouldn't buy it But if someone offered me some of the deadly, why do I call it deadly? Before I get into, I've given you one, candy, which is obvious to some of you, or most of you. But why is it deadly? If you're carrying extra pounds, and like I said, obesity is over 30%, and it's going to vary by height and gender, but let's say you're male, 5'8", the average weight, and again, it depends on your body type here, is about 150. If you're a small body type, it's actually less. If you're sort of big boned, it's even more. It's like maybe 165. There's a range. Like in economics, there's a range of estimates. The same thing in eating. There's a range of estimates because there's a lot of variables here. And that's why they have charts. Any diet book will have typically in the back or even in sometimes in the text, they'll show you a chart of weights. And you can go online and look it up. And there's some good sites to do that. Although this is somewhat spur of the moment. I really had not, up until I sat down in this chair, I wasn't necessarily going to talk about it. But I thought about it. I said, well, you know, this is common to a lot of people. And I would say it's the number one health issue in the United States is obesity. So the first thing you got to do, if you're serious about this, is to understand the problem, and obesity is over 30%. Now, you're still going to be fat if you can be, you're obese and you are fat if you're over 30% of what your weight should be. But you're still fat under 30%. So it's not just fat. You're really fat. You got a problem. You got a food addiction problem. You're stuffing your face with the seven deadly C's. Candy being number one. I bet you ate a lot of candy during the Christmas holidays. I did. I broke down. I violated my number one rule. Don't buy certain items, and I violated. I had a reason for it, but I ate candy. I bought candy, and guess what? I ate it. Now, I got rid of it last night. I said, I don't want this hanging around the house. So I ate it, and guess what? I got on the scale today, and I gained a pound, actually more than a pound. Now, admittedly, I had breakfast, so maybe it was just a pound. But candy is a big no-no, and the way you stop eating candy is, number one, don't buy it. And if you don't buy it, it's not in the house. Now, if you're married with family and children, guess what? You got a problem, because maybe some of your children or your spouse is not overweight, and they like candy. I'm saying if you're serious about your New Year's resolution, and I would say more than two-thirds of the, probably my guess would be upwards of 80%. If you took the New Year's resolutions of the American people together, if you could get a listing of those, I would say close to 80%, maybe more than 80%. One of the top three resolutions would be lose weight. And for many people today, the obese, they need to lose a lot of weight. 100 pounds is a lot of weight. I am weighing today more than almost ever weighed. Now, there's some reasons for that. I had some health issues. I had lost a lot of weight, by the way, and I gained it back. And now I'm serious about losing it again. And it's very hard to lose. I know how hard it is. And one of the mistakes many people made, I'm probably an expert in diets. Most of what I've learned, though, I've forgotten a long time ago. But the best thing I learned, and I'm passing along, and it was something, I had a book, I don't have it anymore, but I had a book written by, he worked for the city, Department of Health, he was a doctor, but it was probably the best. If you read it and understood it, the best book I've ever read on this. And the simple fact that it's sort of ingrained in my memory, can't forget it. If you want to lose a pound, you got to burn 3,500 calories. And you have to have a deficit of 3,500 calories. Now, if you look on any food package today, what does it typically say? The average American should have 2,000 calories a day. That's the number they use. Now, if you're overweight or obese, guess what, folks? You're eating over 2,000 calories, and they add up every day. By just eating 100 calories more than that, and remember, it's an average. It's going to depend on your body type, gender, height, so forth. But 100 calories a day in 35 days, you will have gained a pound. In a year, you will gain close to 10 pounds. And in 5 years, it's 50 pounds. And in 10 years, guess what? It's 100 pounds. That's by eating just 100 calories more than what you should be. Now, what happens is, and I have to get back to 2,000, actually under that. But the key rule is that I got out of this book, and probably the best. And it wasn't it gave you that basic fact. And if you want to lose a pound, you got to cut out 3,500 calories. Now, 3,500 calories is not a lot. If you will fast for 2 days, in other words, eat nothing but water for 2 days, you will have a deficit of at least 3,500 calories. Because like I said, the average American, it's about 2,000. Now, if you're a very petite female, it's going to be under 2,000. If you're a big football player, you're probably at 2,500 or 3,000 at least. And if it's during the season, you're probably eating more than that. But you're exercising. That's the other thing. You got to keep exercising. Now, let me get back to the seven deadly C's. Don't buy any of these C's when you go to the grocery store. Candy. And right following, close behind, is chocolate. And that was what I bought and stuffing my face last night. Chocolate. I said, I'm getting rid of, I didn't have a lot to get rid of, but I said, I'm getting rid of, I don't want any chocolate in my refrigerator or my pantry. So guess what? I don't have chocolate. Now let me say something related to chocolate. I like skim milk, and that skim milk is very much an acquired taste. When I was growing up, milk was actually delivered. There was a box on the stoop on the side of my house, and every 2 or 3 days, definitely once a week, probably twice a week, the milkman would stop and he'd have a little rack, he'd carry it to the porch, and it'd put milk bottles, glass milk bottles, in this metal square box that could hold probably 4 to 6 milk bottles. They don't deliver milk anymore. I haven't seen a milk truck in years, and that's how things have changed. But you had that service. And literally what the milkman would do, there would be a long, long, long block of houses on either side. So he'd go down, deliver to one, then cross the street, deliver another, bum, bum, bum. That's how. So growing up, I didn't have skim milk, and we didn't have this 2% fat or 0.5% fat. We drank whole milk. Now, I don't remember drinking milk. If you know, it's kind of funny. As kids, I know I drank it every day. And I know the treat was to have Ovaltine in the milk. Now, I'm leading up to something. I went to school, and not in college, by the way, but in graduate school, my first semester there, I lived in a fraternity house, and they had skim milk. They had both, but usually skim milk was available. So I tried it. I didn't initially like it. It's sort of watery. If you talk to anyone that likes whole milk, it's definitely different, and a lot of people don't like it. It seems like it's watered down. Well, I got so used to it, I don't like whole milk anymore. And, yeah, occasionally I'll make a mistake and buy a half percent or a percent, whatever. But when I shop today, I buy skim milk. Now, why am I? Two reasons I'm pointing this out. You don't need the extra fat. So I'd recommend going to skim milk. And today, I started my diet, and every morning I start my day with a bowl of cereal with a banana cut up into it and skim milk and some sweet and low, a little sweetener. And the way I vary it is I have five cereals that I like. Corn flakes, crispy rice or Rice Krispies, shredded wheat, Raisin Bran. I said five. I guess it's only four. Am I missing one? No, I'm not. There's four cereals. So I will vary it. But I always put a banana in it and some skim milk, probably 8 to 10 ounces of skim milk. I don't actually measure it, but I know the bowl size and all, and at least once I have measured it, I probably have 8 to 10 ounces of. So if you add all that up, that's probably 500, 600 calories to start the day. That's a very balanced meal. Skim milk is probably one of the most perfect foods in terms of being balanced. The banana is terrific. Definitely have the banana. It'll clean you out, and that's all I'm going to say, and the cereal. And I like all four. Now, when I was growing up, my mom was like most moms. She really was influenced by advertising. So we had Kellogg's Corn Flakes, and I believe it's Kellogg's Rice Krispies. We didn't have Cheerios. I didn't like Cheerios. Ugh. Still don't like Cheerios. But I definitely like Corn Flakes, Rice Krispies, and shredded wheat. We have Nabisco shredded wheat. Those are the three. And since then, I've added Raisin Bran. I like Raisin Bran. And I'm saying this because I think you should start your day with a good breakfast. And a good breakfast of cereal is how I start my day. I really don't like eggs. My dad, for example, he was an egg guy. He loved his eggs and he loved his sausage. Well, I didn't. I couldn't stand eggs. Now, I know you have eggs in other things that I like, but just eating eggs, for some reason, I never really liked eggs. And I don't like sausage either. Now, I don't know what it is, why. And I had the typical father of that generation was off to work, so typically he was gone, and what me and my brother had for breakfast was typically cereal, and I've sort of carried that on. And occasionally, to break it up, I would have some toast with jelly and butter. Now, I got on this talking about low-fat milk or non-fat milk. Skim milk. I don't call it that. I call it skim milk. Love my skim milk. But let me tell you what I also love. I love chocolate milk. I really love chocolate milk. That's a tough one for me. That really is. You know, I'm going through the seven C's. No candy. You don't buy it. And if someone offers you free candy, you say thank you, but I can't eat candy. Sorry. I appreciate it. Thank you for the offer. Or I just eat. You can be polite and turn. I remember to this day, and this was many years ago, there was a Muslim student that I sort of became friends with that worked the labs, and he was from Yemen, as I recall. And during the Christmas, he comes to me with a box of cookies. Well, I had just started my diet. I really should have taken a cookie. But I said, I'm sorry, I've just started the diet, and I need to lose weight. And see, it's a recurring problem with me. My brother doesn't have that problem, but I do, because I like to eat bad things. I like to eat the seven deadly seeds that'll kill you. It'll give you a heart attack. It could give you a stroke. It could give you high blood pressure. It could give you a lot of bad things. So you got to stop eating the deadly seven seas. So no more candy and no more chocolate and no more chocolate milk. Now, the good thing about that, I did buy my chocolate milk at Kroger's. Kroger's is probably a mile from this studio, and that's where I do most of my shopping. Not all my shopping, but I used to get my milk there. And I would get skim milk, but I also would get chocolate milk, which, let me tell you something, you can make a meal. I have 16-ounce mugs, so I could fill 16 ounces of chocolate milk, and I don't know I know it's a lot more calories, a lot more fat than regular skim milk. I think it's double. That's how bad it is. But it's at least 400 to 500 calories. In other words, it's an equivalent of a breakfast, a balanced breakfast of bananas, skim milk, and either right today I had Rice Krispies. And I'm getting concerned. What am I getting concerned about? Well, I also shop at two other stores. One is a Dollar General store right diagonally across the street from Kroger. So I don't go into that store that often, usually just a month, but that's where I get my cereal, and that's where I get my razor blades. Now, I'm stocked up with razor blades, and I have a stock of cereal. I'm not down to my last box of cereal. I probably have, my guess is maybe a dozen boxes, but they're split between shredded wheat, Rice Krispies, Corn Flakes, and I take it back. I don't have a dozen boxes. I probably have 8 boxes of cereal. Now, here's my problem. I will continue eating cereal. I examine that from various angles, and that is a good habit to have, and that's important. You got to get, if you really want to lose weight, besides watching your diet and exercise, you need to have good habits, and that's why I'm going through this. You need to start the day off with a good meal, but a balanced meal. And I'm not going to go to eggs. I'm not going to go to bacon. I'm not going to go to sausages. I like bacon, don't like sausage. But I don't like the hassle of, frying bacon. I like it. Occasionally I eat it. But I'm not into that. Or hash browns. I'm basically a cereal guy and occasionally a toast, butter and toast or jelly and toast. But that's more the exception. When maybe I'm just in a hurry and actually both cereal and toast take about the same time. Anyway, so what's my problem? The Dollar General store has been closed for the last, I would say, almost 60 days. There's something going on. It has a little, you go there, and there's a little sign saying facilities problems. Initially, it was computer problems, facilities problems. And the lights are turned on, and the store is not empty. Because there's been a lot, if you live in Dallas or, frankly, across the country, what you find is many stores have closed, restaurants in particular, but also stores. And just in that shopping center, there used to be kind of a, I don't want to say a junk store, but, you know, these stores were used items. You get used clothes, used books, whatever. And I occasionally go in there. They would have, typically, I got socks. They weren't used. They were new. But if you're looking for a cheap pair of pants, so I'd look there. Usually, I didn't buy much there, but But I was still, you know, spent a couple of minutes because I was going to go to the dollar store. Well, that store closed, and I'm afraid maybe my Dollar General store is going to close. And why is that a problem? Well, that's where I buy my cereal. Why? Because they sell all their cereal at $1.50 a box. That's the cheapest around. I have looked, because I eat a lot of cereal. That's my breakfast for the day, is cereal. I'm hoping it opens up, because I'm getting real. I guess if you ask me, well, Raymond, what's your favorite cereal? I would say shredded wheat. And I'm down to my last box of shredded wheat. That's why I've been eating more Rice Krispies and Corn Flakes. And I think I either have one or two boxes of Raisin Bran, which is probably my second choice. My third would be Rice Krispies, and my fourth would be Corn Flakes. I like them all, and I like to vary it. But I just notice I typically eat more shredded wheat and more Raisin Bran than either Corn Flakes or Rice Krispies. So I'm hitting the Rice Krispies and the Corn Flakes. Now, what you got to know, I know the shoppers out there, whether you're human, whether you're a woman or a man, know this. The boxes have different weights. Usually, in terms of content, and this is sort of, if you look at the size of the box of all those four cereals, usually it's the Raisin Bran box that's the smallest. But if you look at the weight of the contents, it usually has the most cereal. I think it's 20 ounces, either 22 or 20. I'm pretty sure it's 20 ounces. Now, the biggest box typically is the Corn Flakes. And again, I think this one is either 20 or 22 ounces. This one I would say is probably 22 ounces in terms of volume. Usually, in terms, the other boxers are 18 ounces, at least when I buy the cereal here. Now, why am I getting into this? And again, if you're on a diet, you need to be sensitive to this. And if you're on a budget, you need to be sensitive. You need to save money, because as far as I'm concerned, these cereals are commodities to me. I am not going to buy Kellogg's Corn Flakes or Rice Krispies as Kellogg's Rice Krispies. Why? Because usually the box, in terms of its content, will have less cereal in it, and it costs at least two times, it's over $3. Usually it's $3.25, $3.50. Occasionally it'll be on sale, and you get it for $3. If you want the national brand, like my mother would always buy Kellogg's. Why? It was advertised on TV. And being a good mother, she was going to give her children Kellogg's Corn Flakes and Kellogg's Rice Krispies. And occasionally we'd have, I believe it's Nabisco, shredded wheat. I forget who the manager. Well, I don't do that. That's a waste of money. If you're on a budget and trying to save money, don't buy the national brand. Don't. Believe me. I've done a little test comparison. They're essentially the same. Now, I know some of you are going to swear, no, they're not. Well, have a blind test and see if you can tell the difference. I maintain you probably can't. You probably can't. It's like the Coke and Pepsi test. And that's another example of a national brand. So if you're on a budget and trying to save money, what you should do, your first line of defense is, well, don't buy the national, buy the store brand. And you will save money, and guess what? It's the same product, or nearly identical to the same. However, it'll save you money. Typically, for example, in Kroger, it's probably $2.39, maybe $2.49. So you're going to save at least 50 or 60 cents, at least 50 or 67. 50 to 60 cents a box. And you got to watch out for the size, because they've been playing games with the size of the boxes. And sometimes they make the box bigger and the weight, net weight inside is less. Those are the games that they're playing. So my rule is, I'm going to make sure every day I eat a good breakfast of cereal consisting of skim milk, a banana and one of these cereals. That's a good way to start your day off. And no candy, no chocolate, and I can't have chocolate milk anymore, at least for a year. I haven't given up this forever, but I need to lose weight, and I've given myself a year, and that's very important. Don't try to lose a lot of weight in a short period of time. Take it slow and easy. Now, some of you are probably saying, well, losing 2 pounds a week is not slow and easy. And you are correct. It is not. That's actually very difficult to do. I know that. I have been on many diets, many successful diets. And this is by far the most weight I've ever helped to lose. Usually in the past, the most I would have to lose would be 50 pounds. Usually it was 30 to 50 pounds. This is the first time I have to, the 100. So if you have to lose 100, you are obese. You're fat. You're a tubby. Admit it. First thing is admit you have a problem. And I will admit on public airways that I have a problem. I need to lose weight. Primarily for health reasons. Health reasons. But if I do, one, I will feel better and better and better and better every day. I'll be more productive, have more energy. Because when you're carrying around, think about it. I'm carrying around at least 100 pounds. 100 pounds is heavy. That's a lot of books. I'll tell you, because I read a lot, so I have books, and 100 pounds of books is a lot of books, and you're carrying that around every day. And there are tens of millions of Americans that have weight problems. More than half the population of the United States, and I think it's more, I've been very sensitive to this. I've been looking around, and I'm saying, OMG. OMG. I think you know what it stands for. I've never seen so many fat Americans in my entire life. Can't you stop eating? And I'm bad. I know I have a problem. I'm admitting it. Most people won't admit it. Oh, I'm husky. I'm chunky. You know, we all have these terms. I remember when I was growing up. Well, he's a little husky. No, I was overweight. I was a tubby. And I've gone through these periods where I've been what I should be and then gradually ratchet it up. It's just like government spending in that regard. Because what is ratcheted up government spending? You ask economists that have studied, they'll tell you the number one thing that is ratcheted up government spending is war. And what I mean by ratchet it up is you increase it, it increases, and then when the war's over, yes, you're going to have a decrease, but when it comes back down, it's higher in terms of percent of the economy or gross domestic product than it was before the war. So if you want to limit government, stay out of wars. Don't intervene. And that's a subject for another show, but it's the same problem, because what happens is, and I know what my weight was when I was in high school. It was a little above that 150. But I wasn't really fat. Maybe a little husky, but I wasn't fat. Because I was eating right. I really didn't pay much attention to food. And I was exercising. And my waist was at least 10 inches smaller. I know it was smaller. At least, I take that back, it was 12 inches smaller. But what happens is over time, I would go through periods. I remember very, very distinctly, this was in grad school, and I'm not going to give you all the details, but I was coming home one night, and I passed this store that had a scale. It was free. So I got on the scale, and this is the first time in my I didn't have a scale in my apartment. So that's why I got on the scale. And it was early summer. I got on this scale. I was curious because I knew I had gained weight. And this, I think, was my between the first and second year of grad school at Berkeley. I got on the scale, and I believe it was like 203, 204. I've never in my life been that weigh that much. I actually weigh that more now, obviously. And I panicked. This is terrible. I got religion then. I went on a serious diet. I think at that time, the popular diet, and I've been on several of these, was the Atkins diet, where basically you can eat as much meat as you want, and salad and tomatoes. But what you restricted was carbohydrates, the C, and I'm going to get you the 7. And that's what I did. And I lost. I got back to what were roughly between 150 to 160. I've been typically between 145 to 165. That is sort of my normal range, okay to be in. So if I'm in that range, I know, because I have in terms of body types, I have they have a technical name for it. I have a big body type, because what I, and one of the reasons I did a lot of swimming when I was in, I lived in Taipei, Taiwan, and one summer there were no jobs, by the way. It was hard to find, you're competing with Taiwanese and Chinese. So literally what most kids did on the summer was what kids do. They played games or swam or exercised, or their Boy Scouts hiked, went to camp. So one summer I swam every day 2 miles. So I was in great shape, and I really built up my shoulders and arms. And that will put mass and weight on, but it's good weight. It's not fat. I wasn't fat then. Because I'll tell you something, if you swim 2 miles every day, I doubt you're going to be fat. And I was really fit. I was probably, now as I think, about 16 years old, 17 years old. Let me think. 16 years old. Because I would exercise religiously every day. And I didn't swim 2 miles at a crack. I typically half a mile or a mile. But we kept track of it. We had a board at the swimming pool. And my goal was to swim 50 miles. I also get the senior life-saving. Red Cross has senior life-saving, what do they call it, certification or whatever, badge. You get a little patch. So those are the two things. One, I wanted to get fit. I wanted to keep fit by swimming, and did that. And that's probably I've been the most fittest. And I forget what I was eating, but weight wasn't a problem because I was really exercising. And that's what you got to keep in mind, because I have found I will lose the most weight when I combine it. Now, I have lost a lot of weight with very little additional exercise or even no exercise, but it's much harder and takes more time, and you need to keep that in mind. You really should combine, even if it's as simple as walking, and I encourage you to do that, and I need to start doing that. Because I used to also fairly religiously, when I was in my old neighborhood, walk at least 2 miles a day. Remember, the theme of this show is you have to have good habits. Good habits. And I was listening to, and this is another diversion, I'll get to the 7 C's, I haven't forgotten. But I was driving in, and what's happened to all the radio stations, or many of the radio stations, at least in Dallas, but I'm sure across the country, there's been kind of a musical chairs going around where major talk show hosts are changing channels and changing times. And I used to listen to Laura Ingraham in the nighttime on 820. And that station, together with, they bought 820 as well as 570. And now she's back in the morning. Now, I typically don't listen to much talk radio at all in the morning. I listen it primarily in the evening and occasionally early afternoon. Anyway, she's on the air, and she's making a point that was repeated late at night by someone else. If you want to be happy, and I'm sort of paraphrasing here and combining two thoughts. If you want to be happy, you have to be virtuous. That's another way of saying be good. And if you want to be good, you have to have good habits. So if you want to lose weight, you have to have good habits, which means eliminating bad habits. And what I'm trying to do with this show is motivate you to keep your resolution. And most Americans, I would say 80%, one of their problems is they overeat or don't exercise enough, both. And if you don't believe me, go to any store and just look at the people. And I'm bad. Like I said, I've never weighed, except for a brief time last year, I've never weighed more. But I've committed myself, and I have a number of reasons for doing this, but primarily for health, because I know when you're carrying around, and most people are carrying 50, 100, 150, 200 pounds more than they should be. And some are on this radio show, and they know who they are. And I can't do anything about it other than to try to point you in the right direction. So Laura Ingram is back on the air in Dallas. I'm glad. I hope they replay her in the evenings. There's been a shift, though. For example, I used to listen to Mike Savage in the evenings. Now, one thing about Mike Savage, half the time I think he's crazy. But he does have the same style I do. It's been called stream of consciousness. I don't have a script. I don't have any notes in front of me. I don't have a script. And I'm really not talking about the topic that I was going to talk about, the National Security Agency, and probably will save for Monday, because this is going to be an hour show. We're about three quarters of the way through, and I still haven't finished this segment. But Michael Savage is the same. He has the same style. Let's put it that way. He is no script. Occasionally he does reads. He's a writer. He's written many books, a lot of them on nutrition, by the way, and vitamin supplements. And I urge you to take a vitamin supplement. And that's one thing I've added, because I've noticed I've had some heartburn recently in the last month or two. It's another reason why. One of the things, if you have heartburn, or what's called GERD, reflux, and I've been getting heartburn, is lose weight. One of the common denominators, if you will, of people that have this is they're overweight. They need to lose weight, or they're eating the wrong types of food. Now, I did some research, and one of the so-called treatments that I don't want to do is antacids, and there's problems with that. And I went into Kroger. Initially, I was just going to look at buying a bottle of antacids. And what I quickly determined is most of this is calcium carbonate. And it's expensive, especially if you buy the national brand, and they were out of the Kroger brand. So I thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. I said, wait a minute. What happens at the end of the year right now in most stores throughout the country? Vitamins are on sale. You know, two for one. The best time to buy vitamins is now. So what did I do? I bought a big bottle, actually two bottles. You get two for one of calcium. And I also bought, and I forgot about this. I used to regularly not only have a vitamin pill every day, but I would also have a calcium, magnesium, zinc. And during that period, and that's why I'm getting to the habit point, I never had heartburn. I would say almost never, maybe once or twice a year. Occasionally you're going to, but I never had that. This is recent. I said, you know, I don't have in my medicine chest that for whatever reason. Moving around, changing, I forgot to restock, so I bought two for one of those, And again, if I do have any in the evening, for example, because I tend to eat late, and that's a habit I need to change, I said I'm going to buy also calcium. So I have it covered, and I forgot to take my vitamin today. In my rush to get in, I thought about it, was going to take it, but you know how you get going? Because I knew I need to get the show on the road because the engineer is going to leave at noon. So I said, see, I'm not a morning person. I'm an evening, very much a night person. See, my goal is to have a nationally syndicated radio show that would be on in the morning between 6 and 9 Dallas time, which is 7 to 10 on the East Coast. Now, why do I want to pick those times? And I've looked into it. I assume it's still true. Most people are listening because they're driving to work in the morning. So if you want to have most impact on people, and that's one place that they're listening to the radio, you have a captured audience, not for the entire 3 hours, but some people are leaving early, some people are leaving, let's say, 30 minutes or an hour before they go, and some people come in later. So my goal is a nationally syndicated program, not a local. I don't want to do local. And there's reasons for that. But to do that kind of show, and I'm a very big believer in show preparation, I would have to spend 8 to 10 hours every day prior to the show, starting at 6 in the morning and ending at 9, Dallas time, or starting 7 o'clock, which is the peak time of radio listening, is in the morning. I've seen the statistics, and I'm going to check them out a little bit more. Because Rush Limbaugh is not on in the morning. He's on at 11 o'clock here, which is noon. And that's the second best time. And I was listening to Rush, not his whole show, just the beginning. He was back. And he got on the radio. He was talking about his start in radio, which is and I listened to it. Sat down. I was really wanting to get here and start preparing for, but I sat down and listened to that. The problem is he doesn't like to talk what he calls inside baseball. Well, I eat it up. I wish he would give more inside baseball. And what he was talking about is the fact that people are changing. Savage now has, for example, in New York City, that spot that Hannity had on WABC from 2 to 5. However, Hannity is now not on 820 anymore. He's on 660. Rush is still on 820. And there's a shakeup in the industry because the company that bought the two stations in Dallas has a reputation. Their business model is they buy the big name, and the big name is Rush Limbaugh, and to a lesser extent, Mark Levin. And they buy the syndicated show. But then they have some local guys as kind of fillers, either before or after. And that's what they've done, and they hire him cheap. They hire him cheap, and as a result, a lot of people locally have moved. And a lot of the national syndicates, for example, Hannity, and I think the company is Cumulus. He didn't want to work for him, is now switched. That's why he's on 660. Because Cumulus has 5, if you're in Dallas, has 820, which is a big, has the talk radio format, as well as 520. Now, before I forget, and I almost did, but since I'm on the talk radio aspect of this, and I'll end it up, I only have about 7 minutes, so I'll wrap it up soon. But I need to at least salute somebody that I frankly didn't listen to because he was primarily local. Actually, he was nationally syndicated, but he really dominated in New York City, and that a gentleman passed away, Bob Grant. If you follow talk radio, and I've listened to some of his shows, and he's definitely was a conservative, but he was a gentleman and a professional, and he spoke his mind and said it directly. And after 25 years, he actually was fired by ABC. But he was very much a path maker. And he's not the only one. There have been, but he was on the air, I believe, for close to 50 years. I know over 40, but 50 years. And like many in talk radio, not everybody, they tend to come out of two areas. They either former disc jockeys or former sportscasters. And he had a start in Los Angeles. He passed away. And my prayers are for his family. May he rest in peace. And I'm really not doing justice to him because, like I said, I did not listen to him. Being in Dallas, I wasn't a fan of Bob Grant's, but I still have a lot of respect for people that make it easier for other people, including Rush Limbaugh, but other people, to get their first break, to make their own way and their own path for other people. So I was sorry to hear of his passing at age 84 yesterday. I did a blog post on it, and I will be posting this on my companion blog, prompops.wordpress.com. So if you're a first-time listener, the way you get my notes and listen to the show is go to prompops, that's prompops.wordpress.com, and at the very top you'll have links to the shows, all the past shows. At the very top, you'll have the last 2 months of shows, and below that, you'll have a complete archive. And so if you're looking for a current show, last 2 months, click at one of those top links, and that'll send you to Podomatic, and it'll stream it, or you can download it. Or below that, you have an archive. It's grouped by shows. You click on that. You'll get information on what I was talking about on a specific show, and that will take you, again, to Podomatic. But this is the companion blog. It's called prompops.wordpress.com. I also will have my notes, and I will have one of the segments that I'm going to start changing to stories is the fact that Bob Grant passed away yesterday. A giant in this industry, he will be missed. A man really respected, a gentleman. And though I didn't know him, I know many of the people that did have kind words for him. And he spoke his mind. I'm very much like that. I tell it the way it is. I'm not trying to make, not trying to be popular, neither did he. And occasionally you can get in trouble. Because you have people that will be offended by anything you say. I'm sure you listened to the show prior shows, the end of the year, about Phil Robinson, which I'll just mention. He's back on the show, so you Duck Dynasty fans, he's back. I knew, you know, I have a deep suspicion it was a publicity stunt. I really do. But let me tell you one minor thing. And I'm talking about the Kroger's grocery store I go to. Well, they have a section on stuff they're trying to get rid of. And guess what? They had a bunch of Duck Dynasty stuff, you know, cups and stuff. They're trying to sort of dumping it. Oh, my God, Duck Dynasty. Well, I would not have used the words, and I'm having second thoughts about that. But I wouldn't have said what he said the way he said it. But I agree. I will defend to his death his right to say it, and I thought A&E was being ridiculous, trying to throw him off the show, because you know what the family's going to say. Well, if my daddy is off the show, I'm gone. And that's what they more or less said. It's the most popular show on cable TV. I don't watch it. I've sampled it. I don't own a television, so I don't watch it. But people that do, they love it. They think it's funny, and that's the key. If you entertain people, guess what? They'll be loyal fans. I remember when I was growing up, the big show was I Love Lucy. Everyone would watch I Love Lucy. Well, this is sort of like Duck Dynasty. It's a family show. And I think the issue was people being offended. It was primarily homosexuals, gays, lesbians, transsexuals. And here's where I think they're making the mistake. And I've said it on previous shows. I really don't care what you do in your bedroom. That's between you and whoever you're with. That's your business. And if they would, if they could accept that, people are tolerate. Or in America, we have a high level of tolerations for other people's religious beliefs. The problem with the gay community is they want to go beyond that until you have to accept our behavior. And the problem is the majority of Americans don't accept your behavior. Majority of Americans believe it's a sin. It's perversion. So you're not going to get people, the majority of American people, to accept your behavior. That is a fact, and there's nothing you can do about it. And when you try to make them accept it, guess what? You're going to get pushback big time. Tolerance, yes. Acceptance, forget it. It's not going to be accepted, no matter what the television and other media tries to do. And they have moved the needle, but that's a separate subject. I'm going to have to wrap up the show. I'm looking at the time, and I sort of strayed into this. But what I was getting at, there's been a lot of musical chairs in the talk in talk radio, and it's mainly people moving from one station to another, one time slot to another. And Rush was talking about he's on two radio stations in Los Angeles, the big one. Well, one's the big one. And he had a very interesting statistics. If you want to get 80% of the audience, you have to be in top 25 markets. Dallas is one of them, but so is Los Angeles, New York, Boston, Chicago, Miami. If you have the large 50,000 megawatt stations in 25 markets, you have a penetration of those markets. It gives you about 80%. So why number in stations is important, you want to get 80%. So I sort of scratched my head. I said, okay, what would be a really big target? Now, I don't know how many, if you're in the top 100 markets, my guess is you probably have at least 90%. That might be a little high or a little low. I don't know. But if 25 markets give you 80%, then probably 100 markets would give you 90%. And Rush, I believe, is at over 600. I could be wrong on that. I don't recall what number he is. But it's a building process. When you start, you might be local. I don't want to start local for one simple reason. What I have found, both here in Dallas as well as across, there are a lot of very good local people. Very good. Very talented. Very professional. Very competent. But guess what? They primarily do local city and state news. And I do some city and state news. But I primarily do what is in the news and driving the news. Today is somewhat of an exception, but not really, because you're hearing stories on television and radio. What's your New Year's resolution? And one of my big New Year's resolutions was to lose weight by not eating. Here are the seven, folks. If you got to lose weight, when you go to the grocery store, you don't buy candy, you don't buy chocolate, including chocolate milk. That's the big one for me. You don't buy cookies, you don't buy crackers, you don't buy cakes, you don't buy cheese such as pizza or sliced cheese, and you don't buy cream, namely ice cream. Those are the deadly seven. So when next time you go shopping, no more cookies, no more crackers, no more candy, no more chocolate, no more pizza or cheese, no more ice cream. You got that? Probably missed one. No more cake. Now that's when you go shopping. If you're a tubby, if you're a fatso, if you're obese, you know it. Admit it. The first, you got to admit it. How do you know? Take your clothes off, look at the mirror, and you'll probably say, oh, my God. OMG. How did I get this big? Oh, my God. Well, I tell you why you got that big. You were eating the seven deadly seas. You've been stuffing your face with candy, chocolate, including chocolate milk, cookies, crackers, cake, ice cream, cheese, including pizza and sliced cheese, and cake, birthday cakes, anniversary cakes, cake. You got to not put it in your shopping cart. Don't bring it home, because what happens when you bring it home? You put it in the refrigerator, you put it in the pantry, and you eat it. And then you wonder why you're fat. You're eating bad foods. Because what do all these foods have? They're heavy on two things. Number one, carbohydrates. And they give you a lot of calories. Remember, to lose 1 pound, you have to have a deficit of 3,500 calories. And if you're overweight, you're eating more than 2,000 calories a day. You're eating 2,500, 3,000, or maybe even a whole pound, 3,500. And even a small piece of candy probably has at least 100 calories. Eat 5 pieces of candy. And I might say snacks, because not everything is a C. No more snacks. So one of my New Year's resolution is to lose weight and to lose 2 pounds per week. Now, I'm not going to tell you how I'm going to do that. Obviously, I'm going to eat a lot less food. I'm not going to, when I go to Kroger, I actually go to 3 stores. Dollar General for the cereal and razor blades. For milk, skim milk, I go to Audi's. I used to go for the pizza, but I'm not going to buy pizza there anymore. But I'm going to start every day with a good breakfast, except for the days that are fast days. And I'll get into that next show. I think you should fast at least 1, if not 2 days per week. And that's not easy. But if you will fast 1 or 2 days a week, preferably on the weekend, because I have found that's when I eat more food, is on the weekend. When I'm busy at school or working, whatever, I don't eat as much. And there's the one thing I need to remember. I said I had something in my pantry that I have several boxes of. And I'm including this for one reason. It's a bad habit. You have to have good habits, and there's a bad habit. And up until really last year, about 13 months ago, I really didn't eat these. And those are what the brand is, Pop-Tarts or Toaster Tarts. There are several names for them. I got into the bad habit of eating those things. In my mind, they fall in the candy, cake, cookie category. They're a little bit of all three. And usually in a package of these, you have 2 of them, and they're 100 calories each. 200 calories each. So if you eat 2 of these, and usually if you're at home, you put them in your toaster and warm them up. But if you eat 2 of them, that's 400 calories. That's a meal, folks. And I bet some of you, for breakfast, eat these toaster tarts. Well, that's what I was doing, not for breakfast, because I was a cereal guy. But what I would do, because they're really nice and convenient, I would put them in this little, I have these cases that I put food in, and napkins and utensils, because I'm usually preparing for the show. And I got in the habit of eating at least 1 of these packs for either lunch or dinner, and occasionally 2 packs. And on a big day, 3 packs. That's, if you eat 2 of those, it's 400 calories. If you eat 2 packs, it's 800 calories. And if you have a triple header day and eat 3 of them, and I had occasionally did it, I'd try to cut back, that's 1,200 calories. That's what I call a bad habit. So, and it's going to be a great temptation, because I have probably 6 boxes that I haven't been eating that many of them. I had 2 yesterday. But that's now on my forbidden list, because it really is one of the C's. It's a combination cookie, cake. I like the apple or the cinnamon sugar, as well as the cherry or strawberry. Makes you want, and I have right now, I have a little bag on a cart And in that, I have these four containers, and I have about at least six of these packages. And that's going to be my daily temptation, is not to eat any of these things. Because I said the rule is, and I've really tightened the rule, you don't buy it. If you don't buy it, it's not in your refrigerator. It's not in your pantry. You won't eat it. If you bring it home and put it in your refrigerator, you know what you're going to be doing? You're going to be eating it. Just like last night, I literally forced myself. That's a joke, folks. I forced myself to eat this chocolate candy just to get rid of it. I didn't have much of it, but I wanted to get rid of it. Because I usually do not buy or eat candy, except before this resolution, except if someone would give it to me for free. My now stiff rule, because I got to lose, it's not going to be easy losing 100 pounds. And it's going to take me a year. But if someone offers me some free candy, like Valentine's Day, oh, have some Valentine's candy. Or Halloween, have some Halloween candy. Or someone has a birthday, have some cupcakes. Have some cookies. Candies, cookies, cake. And on campus, they have free ice cream. No, no, no. Even if it's free, no, no, no. You have to replace the bad habits with good habits. And it's not easy, because it's not a habit until you make it a habit. And you can't do it in a day. You can't do it in a week. You can't do it in a month. If you're obese, it's going to take you at least 6 months to a year to lose this weight on a strict diet. And hopefully with some exercise, it'll make it a little faster. But it's going to take time. It took years. Usually it took years for me to build it. This time I did it in a little over a year. I gained probably at least 50 to 60 pounds. Now, part of that was back. My excuse is I was sick and I wanted to get back in health. And I was eating, my brother will testify and I will tell, I was eating the right foods. My problem is I was eating too much of them. And I developed some bad habits. I don't eat snacks. I don't buy snacks. Haven't been buying cookies except what snuck in. And that's what you got to worry about. I started to buy these toaster tarts or Pop-Tarts, mainly because the convenience. You stick them in sort of like a backpack or container, and it's there, and it's a good size. It's a nice mini meal, if you will. And if I just stuck to one a day, I probably wouldn't. But what happens is I started to eat. Yeah, two is 400 calories. Started to eat two packs and three packs, and that caused a problem because you'll put it on, you know, an extra 400 or 500 calories. You're going to be putting on. And the other thing I was doing, I was eating chocolate pudding. Chocolate! Bing, 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 bing. Alarm bells. I got to start. That's on my list. And I still have some pudding. And that's also a convenient food. But now it's on the forbidden list. Now, am I saying it's forbidden forever? No. What I'm saying is I need to replace bad habits with good habits. And do it consistently. So at some point, hopefully a year from today, I can have as a treat, as dessert, as a reward, chocolate pudding. Can't have it anymore, though. Not for the next year. And I do have some in my refrigerator. I have some yogurt in my that I'll get rid of the yogurt. But I haven't been... I got on a yogurt kick for a while and just find it didn't agree with me. Now, why am I doing this? Primarily for health reasons. But I also know, for a fact, when I weigh less, I have more energy. You feel you're not as tired. So it'll have that payoff and my appearance will look better. And at some point, I'm going to have a better picture of myself. I definitely, a year from now, I'm going to take a picture. And I hope to be a lot thinner. A lot thinner. Just a rule of thumb. I have my own, but I remember I was in the Air Force. And I had just finished a very, very successful diet. I was getting out of the Air Force, by the way. I'd been in it for going on 5 years, over 5 years. I went to a tailor, and I said, I need these pants and these suits taken in. He says, well, are you sure you want to do this? Because you could gain the weight back. I said, no, I'm committed here. So I asked him, I said, okay, just as a rule of thumb, an inch in the waist, how many pounds is that? And I can remember it to this day. I don't remember the tailor offhand. But he said 6.5 pounds. Now, I don't know if it's 6.5 pounds, but he seemed to know what he was talking about. He says, if you put more, whatever your ideal weight is, if you put on 6.5 pounds, that'll probably add an inch to your waist. So if you're, for example, let's say you're 40 pounds overweight, that'll add 6 inches. You do the math. 6 times 6.5, that's 39. That's 6 inches. So if you have to lose 100 pounds, and actually a little more than 100 pounds, I probably will lose, if his rule of thumb is true, about 18 inches. That's a lot. Now, I don't think, that's why I don't think the rule is true. I think you have to lose about 10 pounds. And I think it's going to depend on your sex, your age, your body type, and all this. That's why, my rule is, if I put on the weight in my waist, in my butt, is you want to lose an inch, you got to lose 10 pounds. So I'm expecting to at least, in the waist department, lose at least 10 inches, 10 to 12, maybe as high as 14 inches in the waist, depending on whether the tailor is right or my rule is right. The tailor rule, in economics, there's such a thing. But this has to do with weight. My rule is, if you want to lose an inch in the waist, lose 10 pounds. Definitely, that'll get you your inch. And remember, you're overweight, you're obese, excuse me. You're obese if you're more than 30% higher than what you should be, depending on your body type, height, and sex or gender. And I'm repeating this because probably 2/3 to 3/4 or maybe 80% of the people listening to me have a weight problem. Now, some of you are not obese. You're overweight. If you're 10 or 15% above your eye, you're overweight. You need to lose it. You need to be, and there's nothing magical about this range. Now, what I'm trying to do is to go to the, not the large body type, but the small body type at my height, which is less than what I normally would shoot for. So I'm going to be slightly underweight. You know, you can't, never can be too rich or too thin. Well, I'm working on the too thin. And millions, tens of millions, I would say over 200 million Americans, United States citizens, have this problem. It's going to be in the news throughout the year. It's definitely going to be on the news in January. What's the top New Year's resolution? Lose weight. Now, some of you have other bad habits. Smoking, whether cigarettes or marijuana or what's called weed. What was in the news? Colorado is now, it's legal to buy it. They have retail shops. And it's going for $500 an ounce. The free market is kicked in. And there's higher demand. And there'll be more supply. That's one of been the major story this week. So to sum this show up, stop buying, stop eating the 7 deadly food categories: candy, chocolate, cookies, crackers, cake, cheese, and ice cream. And if you do that, you'll lose weight. And that means about 200 million of you, if you can get in these good habits, will be a lot healthier a year from now. But you have to make it a habit, and it starts by not putting these deadly food groups and your shopping cart. Because once they're in the cart and you check out, they're going to go home and you're going to eat all this garbage. And let me say this, for those that don't have a weight problem, which is probably 20% of you out there, I'm not a food Nazi. Have a cracker. Have some chocolate. Have a pizza. Have some cheese. You can, because you're watching your weight. You're exercising. Maybe it's just the luck of the draw. Some people don't gain weight. You've seen them. I've seen them. There are people that can stuff their face and they're thin. And you scratch your head and you don't believe it. Maybe they're doing something that you're not aware of. They're doing exercise. Or they truly only eat certain foods at certain times. So you need to be doing that. My sound engineer is saying got to wrap it up. I have gone a little long. I sort of got wound up on this segment. Next show, I'm going to give you a little preview. And this is what I came in to talk about, and I haven't really talked about this, is the National Security Agency, what's happening there. Because there's been a number of stories, one being they intercepting packages and putting software, so-called malware, in certain devices such as iPhones. And they've been in the news for that, and they were in the news yesterday for the fact that they're developing a supercomputer and spending a lot of money on being able to decrypt. But I'm going to take a kind of review, because I really am somewhat critical of people in talk radio for not really zeroing in as to what exactly the National Security Agency is doing. And I even had a review sort of double check. So I'm going to be talking about the National Security Agency and why I think this is going to be the story of the year, one of the stories, top stories of the year, because I think the American people are going to be outraged. And they're going to be outraged at their congressmen, senators, and presidents for letting the NSA get away with it. And they're going to want to put a stop to it. So I'll be talking about the National Security Agency in the next show. I also will do my monthly unemployment report. I really didn't have time today because we're on a limited schedule both this week and next week. I really don't like to do the shows in the morning. I'm very much a night person. Or if I'm going to do it in the morning, I stay up, and I really can't do that. But I will be covering the National Security Agency. And one other thing, I'll wrap it up right now. I normally don't do weather at all, but yesterday I posted what I call a rocket blog post. And within an hour, I had over 200 hits. Yesterday, I had over 750 hits. And if you're living on the East Coast, where I used to live on Long Island, I'm originally from New York. I haven't been there in years. But I used to, as a kid, have to shovel snow. And they got hit with the so-called snowstorm Hercules. Now they're naming it. I call it Hercules Unchained. And it really got a lot of hits because I had photographs, videos, some articles about it. But I didn't think it was that big a deal, other than it was somewhat cold, because the New York, Long Island got a foot of snow. I can remember when I was a kid, we'd get 3, 4, 5, 6 feet of snow. That was a real storm, a foot of snow. Now, granted, the temperatures are cold. You got to watch out. We used to get, on Long Island, I lived in Wontoor, every time a storm would hit, me and my brother have to be cleaning the driveway, the walkways, and all the neighbors had to do it. And a foot's easy. It's when it's 3 or 4. And I can remember one time I lived in Ohio. I didn't get as much snow as Long Island, the New York City area. But we used to have a real dump of, 5, 6, 7 feet. I don't know why everyone is panicking about a foot of snow. You need to be concerned about the temperature. I understand that. And that is the more of concern, especially if you have children or small children that don't understand that. And for most of the school, will be shut down. They're not going to come back today for school. They'll be coming back tomorrow. We almost never get snow in Dallas, except recently.
And that brings up global warming, which I don't have time. I think it's a joke, but I will touch on global warming probably in the next show if I have time. Well, thank you for listening to the Pronk Pop Show, the first show of the year. You have been listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. I hope today's show has been educational, enlightening, and hopefully entertaining. Have a great day, and now back to the music.